British involvement in the region began long before World War I, but the period in which it was the dominant power in much of the region lasted from 1914 to 1956. In World War I, the Ottoman Empire sides with the Axis powers and loses. Subsequently, the various Allied powers begin to carve up the Ottoman Empire into small, edible pieces.
Mark Sykes and his French counterpart, François-Georges Picot, agree to carve up most of the region between the British and the French.
One of the first pieces of this pie is Saudi Arabia, a region in the Arabian Peninsula which was originally known as Hejaz. It was only after the support of the British in World War I that this region was handed over to a Bedouin tribe of desert raiders named Bani Saud. And thus, Saudi Arabia came into existence. According to Churchill's account about the Saudi tribe, they were austere, intolerant, well-armed, and bloodthirsty, and eradicated anyone that did not share their ideology. Despite this chilling acknowledgement, the British Empire recognized and protected Ibn Saud's control of Arabia. Churchill's famous meeting with Ibn Saud after the Yalta Conference in February of 1945. Despite knowing the truth about this group, why would they support them? The idea that was promoted by the British to gain support for the Saudi Wahhabi clan was this: since the Wahhabi population of the Arab world has not, does not, and never will get along with non-Wahhabis, then the Wahhabis should be given a land of their own to allow them to create their own society. You'd be surprised to know that the very same idea was first introduced at the end of the 1800s by Theodore Herzl and gained British attention. Second piece of the pie, Zionism. Theodore Herzl, one of the major ideologues of the Zionist movement, wrote in a fundraising proposal addressed to British colonialist Cecil Rhodes: since the Jewish population of Europe has not, does not, and never will get along with non-Jews, then the Jews should be given a land for them to create a society of like people. Consequently, at the hands of the British Foreign Secretary of that time, Arthur James Balfour, the Balfour Declaration was passed in 1917, which declared British support and authorization for the creation of a Jewish state in the lands of Palestine. The control of these holy lands is handed over to the Wahhabis and the Zionists solely on the basis of their loyalty to the British. So in this manner, at the turn of the century, in the aftermath of the two world wars, the birthplaces to the religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the homeland to the most divine prophets and great intellectuals such as Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad and their followers, the holy lands surrounding Al-Quds, Hejaz, Sham, and Iraq, which for centuries had flourished in arts, science, innovation, philosophy, literature, economy, agriculture, were systematically dominated, disabled, and destroyed by the British Crown. So we can conclude that the sectarian, interreligious, and overall violence and chaos that we see in the region today took a long time in the making, and its foundation was set by Britain's foreign policies molded by its imperialist ambitions. After 1945, British dominance quickly faded on the face value, but left behind poisonous relics, namely Wahhabism and Zionism. Safe dwellings for them to thrive in, namely Saudi Arabia and Israel. And unconditional socio-political support and economic backing for both. This was done in order for them to keep their strategy of subjugating the region alive and unhindered, which to this very day still exists.